very pleased to be joined on the line by our old friend who's always been a great friend of this show, Glenn Macnow. First of all, Glenn, great to have you with us. Happy New Year and welcome back.
Thank you, Steve. All my best to you and all your listeners.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Well, this is quite a run that the Eagles have started to put together here, Glenn. When you watch them, what are a couple of elements that maybe weren't there 6 weeks ago, but now have fallen in line with the elements that were there?
Okay, I don't want to start with a downer, but part of it is they're playing much easier competition. I think when you play the New York Giants with Jake Fromm and you play Washington with their fourth-string quarterback and so on, it helps. Again, I don't want to take anything away, but you always do have to look at who they're playing. They have not played an elite quarterback in a long time. Maybe Tom Brady was the last one. But in addition to that, clearly one of the things that has worked for them is Coach Nick Sirianni showed a lot of flexibility and realized that his strength is his offensive line, and specifically his strength is his offensive line when they run the ball. And the Eagles went from a team that handed off to its running backs literally four times in an early season game against Dallas to a team that up until last week had rushed for 175 yards or more six games in a row. And so that is the biggest difference, is they run the ball, they dominate the line, they keep the ball away from the other team, and it has worked for them with a series of running backs in a dramatic way.
You know, it's interesting you bring up I brought up the schedule many times, and I know that the two games that you referenced were division games. But let's face it, you know, you've got a last place schedule, so they've played the Jets, they took advantage. They played the Lions, they took advantage. And that's part of how the NFL works. But you have to take advantage of it yourself. And I think you made some really interesting points about that. You're taking advantage of what's put in front of you, and that's what they're doing.
Right. That's the way. Again, the last place schedule isn't as much as it used to be. It is literally a difference of two games. You mentioned the two. It's the Lions and the Jets, and they won those two games by a combined score of 77-24. So, yeah. I'm not going to pretend that that's not there. But you also, you know, you got to win your other games. The one they won most impressively to me, and it goes back to November, but they beat Denver out in Denver. Denver's not a great team, right, but they're an okay team. That was a nice win. That was a quality win. They are not going to play another quality team. They beat New Orleans. You know, New Orleans is currently falling apart, but I thought when they played them, they were a decent team. But, yeah, their season is going to end with the Giants, the Jets, Washington, the Giants, Washington. And then the last week they play Dallas. We'll see how much that game means. Hey, you play who's there. That's all you can. You can't beat teams you don't play.
That's right. Exactly. So let's get to the Miles Sanders situation. When he plays, he makes a big difference for them. So what is his status right now over the last couple of weeks of this season coming up, Glenn?
Well, he's definitely going to be out this week. Broke his hand, as I'm sure you know, your listeners know. That's a tough injury for a running back, right? You got to hold the ball. There are certain positions where you could play with a busted hand. Running back's really not one of them. They didn't put him on IR. They're hoping to have him back. I imagine that if they are a good, if they make the playoffs or look like they're in, they will hold him out against Dallas the last week. And they are hoping that it's not that serious a fracture and that they will be able to get him back. Boy, Steve, here's something I didn't think I'd say last time we talked. They're hoping to get him back for the playoffs.
That's a very good point.
Yeah.
That's a very good point.
I think they were 5-7 or 4-3 and 6 maybe when we spoke last time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, things have improved.
Jalen Hurts, is he a better product now than that 5 or 6 weeks ago that we talked?
Yes, with an asterisk. He has moments where you say, hey, this is a guy they can use going forward. This is your quarterback for the next 5 years, 7 years. And then there are moments when you look at him and say, he's going to be okay, but he's never going to be a top 10 quarterback in the league.
Right.
I think where they are now, I mean, it's where I am now, and I think where they are now is he's going to be their quarterback next year. You know, there's talk, oh, Aaron Rodgers. Nah, they're not going to get Aaron Rodgers. There's talk Russell Wilson. I think that's a real, real long shot. The upside to me on Jalen Hurts is he's an explosive player. You know, the new breed of quarterback runs the ball, and he does that very well. His arm is not weak. His accuracy just needs to improve, and you can learn that. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that's really an upside is he's still on his rookie contract. It's a second-round pick. It's really affordable. You can go out and get other guys. You know, if you get Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson, you're paying a ton. And you also have those three first-round draft picks, which I think if you want to get, you know, Lockett or one of the other quarterbacks, you're going to have to trade up. And I'd rather they keep the three first-round draft picks, help the defense, and give the kid another year to see.
Yeah. Yet there's the Devontae Smith, the Heisman Trophy winner. Yeah, I think I said to you the last time, Glenn, it's one thing for us to watch a guy on TV and say, wow, he's quite a talent, but then you get to see him in person. When you see him in person, does he check every box for you?
Oh, he made a catch in the end zone the other day, keeping his feet in bounds, or in the sidelines, keeping his feet in bounds. That first they ruled that he was – first they ruled he was inbounds. Then they ruled, no, he was out of it. There's no way he could have caught that. And then it was – I never saw a replay replayed, an overturn, but they sent it up to Booth. And he dragged his feet perfectly. He's elusive. He runs good routes. He's got great hands. I mean, the size is what the size is, but it hasn't really been a factor yet. I love this kid. I particularly love when he lines up right next to Lane Johnson, who is literally twice his size. That's I don't know if you saw the photos that went out this week of that, but that's one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Well, you know what's interesting? And I made this point when they played Ohio State in the national championship game. Alabama would line him up in the slot, but Ohio State kept giving him free release off the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
And that was always my concern. Yeah, and that's always was my concern that when he gets to the NFL, they're not big on free release. Yet he is still an effective player, Glenn. Why is that? Why is he elusive to get a hand on at the line of scrimmage?
It's that first step. It really is. It's the first step. You think you're going to hit him, and that first step, he's already, you know, halfway by you, so you really don't get that good shot on him. He is—he's quick, he's smart, he just knows where to go to be elusive. And by the time you think you hit him, he's already two steps past you.
Wow. Have we seen a revival of Fletcher Cox?
Maybe. I would say in what has been a very mediocre season for him, he's had two very good games right now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you have two more in the regular season. I would like to believe that. They're going to have a big decision to make with him next year. Big salary, you know, big contract, getting older. So I'll just say this. He's been excellent in the last two games, Steve, but revival is too high for me.
And I agree that it's a big decision, but I think it's a decision he's already made for them. I mean, I think there's, you know, you'd hate to say this, but I just feel like they may have to cut bait here. I mean, only because there's only so much shelf life.
Yeah, they may. And, you know, he said some stuff earlier in the year which was critical of the defensive coordinator, and now he's come around, and they've come around. Let me say this. Jonathan Gannon, who's the defensive coordinator, has changed things to make it easier for Fletcher Cox. One of the other differences is Fletcher's not getting double-teamed as much as he was because Hargrave's taking some of those, which helps the revival.
Right, yeah. Yeah, that's a really good point. What if you thought of Darius Slay?
Yeah, my pal.
Yeah, your buddy.
Yeah. I criticized him earlier this year. At the time, I didn't think he was playing great. When he made the Pro Bowl, it was interesting that night he reached out to come back at me on Twitter. Certainly glad I could motivate him like that. He's had it. Listen, I'll say this. Since the time I wrote that, which I believe was early October, he has had a terrific season. He has lived up to the name Big Play, which we didn't see for the first 20 games he played here, and has he's the best defensive back they've had since Asante Samuel. And that's been a while.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to know that they are paying attention to you. and that you can take them to great to greater heights. I mean, really, that's what you need to be better.
And then
you got to call a guy out.
And look, it would be ridiculous for me to claim credit because I'm not going to do that. But
right.
It was interesting to me that 45 minutes after the Pro Bowl stuff comes out, I see my Twitter feed explodes, and it's people reacting to him reaching out and saying, I forget exactly what it was, but, you know, kind of, what do you have to say now, Big Mouth? And so what I had to say is, hey, he ended up having a terrific season. I'm glad he made the Pro Bowl. Anything that works for the Eagles works for me.
Right, exactly. Exactly right. Washington is in a quick turnaround. And I thought Washington, I was really impressed with them Sunday night. How about you, Glenn?
First quarter that game was done, huh?
Oh, my goodness. I will say this, though, very quickly. Heinicke and Baker Mayfield did look like two quarterbacks that had not practiced at all when I watched them this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's why I just want to put everybody on the just beware list. At least he's out there putting a week's worth of practice in.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen with Washington because when the Eagles played them, whatever it was now, 10, 11 days ago, Washington had, you know, 25 guys on the COVID list, including Heinicke. Right. However, if you look at what's happened since then, yes, they've gotten guys back, including Heinicke, but they also they had, you know, two of their defensive linemen throwing fists at each other on the sideline the other night. That's never good. They had one of the defensive backs involved in a very tragic car accident. And I don't mean to minimize it by putting football into the equation, but that's not good. They have a really bad culture there, and I like and respect Ron Rivera. It's possible they come out and play well Sunday, but it's equally possible that Washington has just given up on the season and that they're already on the golf course when they play the Eagles this Sunday.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I think that's a really good point. It's not like they don't have talent, but like Chase Young's out for the year.
Yeah.
But what we saw the other night on the sideline, and here's the part that makes you at least chuckle a little bit. Those guys were teammates at Alabama.
I know.
So they've been around each other forever.
Yeah. Yeah, and listen, good teams bounce back from adversity. Bad teams just kind of curl up and die.
Yep.
I'm more inclined to think Washington's a bad team.
Well, and this is, in watching the Eagles play the Giants the other day, I've always had a saying, and you know this, Clint, I've said it many times, bad teams make bad plays.
Yeah.
And the Giants, I mean, the Eagles opened the door how many different times in the first quarter and a half?
I know. The Eagles got one three at the half. The Eagles could have been down three touchdowns in that game, and the Giants let them stay in it until the Eagles figured it out.
I mean, are the Eagles, as you mentioned, the schedule plays a part of it, but are they the team that's been making, quote, the good plays?
Yeah. I think so. I do. I think they've gotten much better. I think a lot of it is the coaches have figured out. You know, we always give rookie players latitude to learn on the job. Well, maybe we don't, but we say we do. But we expect coaches to come in as first-year coaches and have it all figured out, and they don't. I think Nick Sirianni, we talked about earlier, has been a really quick study and improved, and I think Jonathan Gannon, who's coaching the defense, has also improved. And all of that makes the Eagles a better team. You can have the same players, but if you have better coaching, it helps. And I think they got much better coaching.
Yeah, my last question is going to be about Nick Sirianni. You talked about, you know, with rookies learning on the job. Well, here's the head coach, you know, who's now moved over one spot, and now he's got the head coaching job. As time has gone, what have you seen from him?
I've seen that he's figured out what his team does well. I've seen that he commands the respect of players, including the veteran. You know, he had to sell it to Jason Kelce and Lane Johnson and the guys who've been here since Chip Kelly. Kelce's been here since Andy Reid, right? Yeah. And they've been through a lot, and they're veterans. And last year they went four games. And it could be that this year Jason Kelce decides, you know what, this is kind of it. I've had a career. I'm going to just kind of finish this year and retire. But he's got those guys as his biggest cheerleaders, and that he has sold the veterans in the locker room on his program and his culture. To me, that's his biggest accomplishment, and he's done that really well.
Glenn, fabulous. I really enjoyed this a lot. Just always great talking with you. Thanks for the insight, and Happy New Year to you and yours.
Steve, it's always my pleasure. All my best to your listeners. I hope to talk to you again soon.
The outstanding Glenn Macnow. Great to have him on the show today.